Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're on the air, online, and on Facebook, and we welcome you today. Today, of course, we continue in our study through the Simple Gospel Simply Grace Study Guide, and we'll be picking up at the bottom of page 104 at A Declaration. If you have your study guide, go ahead and turn there now, page 104, because it's our Friday study edition. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Last week we looked at, I think, one of the most impactful words in the New Testament. It's the word telos. It's a word that means goal or a stated end. We see it in the word tetelestai that Jesus proclaimed at the cross. It is finished. Telos is a part of that word. And what does that mean? Well, that he finished the goal that God had given him to do, to accomplish. So all that God wanted Jesus to do in regards to our sins came to an end. It reached its final goal. God judged sin, he condemned sin, he punished sin in Jesus Christ. And at that moment, the world changed.
Yes.
Everything changed because Jesus' blood not only fulfilled the old, it ushered in a brand new covenant. And we've talked about this new covenant, and that's the stated end. That's the stated purpose for each and every one of us, for us to be new covenant believers.
Yes.
Now, the law could not do that. It was weak and useless as far as that goal was concerned. So only grace could make us alive. Only grace could deliver us to that stated end. So what the law was powerless to do, Christ Jesus did for each and every one of us. And boy, that's good news, isn't it?
Sure is.
So I think it's time for us to make a declaration, to really drive the stake in the ground, saying that we are new covenant believers. There is so much of mixed messages out there in the world today. So we're wondering, we're confused. Are we Old Testament? Do we follow these rules? Do we follow these regulations? Are we New Covenant? Do we need to blend the two? Do we need to come up with some fine balance between law and grace? And the resounding answer to that is absolutely not. We need to set aside the old so that we can fully embrace the new. If you're not willing to set aside the old, you will never walk in the fullness of God's life in this new covenant.
Yeah.
So it's time to make a declaration. And that's what we want to do on today's broadcast. There's a great movie that came out a number of years ago. It was called We Are Marshall. And it detailed the tragic story of the Marshall Thundering Herd football program. And back on November 14th, 1970, the team boarded the Southern Airways Flight 932 in Kingston, North Carolina. They had just come off a rough loss at the hands of the East Carolina Pirates. And at 7:36 that night, as they were descending into an airport through fog and rain, the plane hit the tops of trees, and in doing so, it plunged it into a cliff just right before the runway. Mm-hmm. And all 75 members of the football team, the coaches, were all killed in that airplane crash. It was a tragic, tragic story, and I remember it being reported.
Sure.
And just how sad that was, hearing that football program, all of those football players had lost their lives. And for, you know, the most part, the football program was totally wiped out.
Yeah.
But the university was committed to resurrecting that program, so they hired a gentleman by the name of Jack Lingle. And he came in, and boy, he just had a hard time even fielding a team. He had to recruit from baseball and basketball and anywhere he could get, warm bodies to fill positions. And that first year, they lost every game except one, and they beat Xavier. And boy, it was just an incredible, incredible experience for the team, for the university. And it put the Marshall Thundering Herd back on the map. It put them back on the path of having a wonderful football program. Well, Hollywood depicted that story. Matthew McConaughey played Jack Lingle, and it was a fabulous movie, stirring, moving, inspirational. I just kind of get wet in the eyes just thinking about it. But it's one of my favorite movies, one of my favorite sport movies. And there's a scene, and of course this is Hollywood's take, but this was a very moving scene. So the Board of Regents are gathered, they're meeting to try to determine if it's even worthwhile moving ahead. Lingle has done some work. He's gotten some players. He's had some practices. They've lost a couple of games, and the Regents are thinking this just isn't working. And outside, as they're meeting, students start to gather, and they start chanting, "We are Marshall. We are Marshall." And it was that turning point in the movie, turning point in the life of that football program. The Board of Regents listened to that. They heard it, and it just began to thunder up into their ears. And finally, they made the decision, we're going forward. And I thought about that in watching the movie, how it parallels with us as believers. We've been called to a new life in Christ. This new life in Christ is lived out through the promises and provisions of this new covenant. Not the old, but the new. And so it's time for us to make a declaration. And instead of "we are Marshall," we need to be declaring as believers in Christ, we are new covenant.
Yeah.
And we're going to look into a couple of passages today that really spell that out for us and will lead us to that point where that declaration is just the most natural and most meaningful declaration that we can make. So we're going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It is a signature verse here at Basic Gospel. It should be a signature verse in your life. It certainly was Paul's signature verse as he described his ministry. But it's 2 Corinthians 3:6. 2 Corinthians 3:6. And Richard, why don't you just read that for us?
Sure.
Read it slowly so folks can really hear what these words are and have these words just really absorbed into their minds and hearts.
Okay. 2 Corinthians 3:6. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life.
So it's a very succinct statement, powerful, profound in impact. And so we're going to spend a few minutes just dissecting this verse. So Paul was an old covenant guy.
Yes.
He was a law guy. Mm-hmm. And when Jesus came on the scene and people started following Jesus, believing in Jesus, that ticked him off. Why? Because his way of life was being threatened.
Yes.
His whole religious system was being threatened. And if everybody went and followed Jesus, then Judaism would have just fallen away. That was what Paul was thinking.
Yes.
So he was spitting mad, and he was persecuting the church. He stood over and condoned the stoning of Stephen, one of the deacons. And then after that happened, he went and got letters giving him authority to go up to Damascus and drag Christians out of their homes and bring them back down to Jerusalem to stand trial, to be persecuted. Mm-hmm. That was the Apostle Paul. And yet, in a moment of time, a bright light hit him as he's going to Damascus, and everything changed.
Yeah.
He went from old to new just like that. And this is a statement that he gives telling us that he has been made competent as a minister of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So God equipped Paul to be a minister of what, according to this passage?
The new covenant.
Yeah. Not the old.
Not the old.
The new.
The new.
Just the new. And he's very specific.
Mm-hmm.
He says he is a minister of the new covenant. Now, is this ministry of the letter or of the Spirit?
Of the Spirit.
Yes. So of the letter, when Paul uses that phrase, what is he talking about?
He's talking about the Mosaic covenant. And in particular, as you see in this chapter, he's talking about the letters on stone of the Ten Commandments themselves.
Those things, those laws engraved in letters on stone. So he's talking about those Ten Commandments. So it's not of the letter, but it's of the Spirit. So this, the old covenant was of the letter.
Yes.
The new covenant is of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So when you look at those side by side, which one do you think is going to be better?
The Spirit has to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what is the difference between the two? What did the letter do, and what does the Spirit do?
The letter kills. The Spirit gives life.
That's a stark contrast.
Sure is.
I mean, that's black and white, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's darkness and light right there. Absolutely. So this ministry of the Spirit is a ministry of life. So this covenant, this new covenant, is a covenant of life.
Yes.
If the law killed, what was the old covenant? Was it a covenant of life or death?
Death.
Death. And Paul goes on throughout the rest of this chapter contrasting the two. And he talks about the fact that the old covenant was a ministry of condemnation. The old covenant was a ministry of judgment. The old covenant was a ministry of death. That's the only language that old covenant could speak. Why? Because none of us could live up to us. So it simply judged us for our failures. It condemned us. And then the final act was the punishment. It punished us. Except Jesus stood in our place.
Yes.
He took the punishment for us. So that's the language of the law. Now, the language of the new covenant is completely different. It is a language of life. So one last question on this, and then we'll take a break. Since the Spirit gives life, what then is God's goal for you in the new covenant?
It must be life.
It has to be life.
Yeah.
So what did God want for you? What was his desired end, his desired goal, the telos, as far as God was concerned, for you? Eternal life.
Yes.
And that's what this gospel message is all about, the fact that God, who was rich in mercy, made us alive together with Christ. We have been saved by grace. And this new life, this new birth, ushers us in to this new covenant where we can experience life to the full.
Absolutely. What good news this is, guys, and we appreciate so much the fact that the two of you are here every Friday, of course, of this study edition called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and today, of course, no exception. This is just such incredibly good news, guys. Just it's a thrill to the heart. Well, friends, it is the study edition, and it's from the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. If you don't have your copy yet, we encourage you to go to Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. There you'll find the book by the same name and the study guide that accompanies it, and we encourage you to get it and study through it as we do each Friday. And if you have not had the opportunity to be with us each Friday, we encourage you to go online to basicgospel.net and click the radio drop-down menu. You'll find the archive right there at basicgospel.net. We also want to thank the many of you who join with us day by day, month by month, in your giving to support the ministry of Basic Gospel. It's the good news of Jesus Christ, and we couldn't do it without you. So we encourage you to keep up the good work. We're going to do that, and we hope you'll join us. All you need to do is click donate on any page at basicgospel.net, and when you do, we have a special gift for you. So again, that's basicgospel.net. Just click donate on any page.
Well, thanks, Bob, and I hope many people will take advantage of that to become partners with us. This new covenant message needs to get out to people. There is so much confusion in the world, in the Christian church, within individual Christian lives,
yes,
because we're trying to blend the old with the new. And that's not the message of the Bible. The old had a purpose. The new has a purpose. Once the old has fulfilled its purpose, it steps aside. And
yes,
Jesus said he set it aside. Mm-hmm. So that it could give way to the work of the Spirit in our lives. So we need to know that. We need to make a declaration. Well, let's look at one other aspect of this new covenant. It is at the end of 2 Corinthians 3:17. And this is the benefit. This is the real benefit of living new covenant life. And it's a powerful statement. So, Richard, read this for us.
Okay. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Okay. So if you're a believer and you want to experience freedom, are you going to have to go to the old covenant or the new?
Only the new.
Only the new. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So what do we get under the old? what happens under the old? Are Slavery. We free or in bondage?
We're in bondage.
Yes. We're in bondage to the law of sin and death. Mm-hmm. If we are under the law, and the only way to be under the law is to be lost.
Yes.
If you're under the law, you're lost, you're dead spiritually, you're in bondage to the law of sin and death. When you turn to Christ by faith, when the Spirit has done its work and his work in your life, then you are set free from the law of sin and death, and you are ushered into this kingdom of the one God the Father loves, Jesus' kingdom. And that's where freedom is. That's where true, genuine, authentic freedom is. And it's a freedom that no one can take away. No. Because if they're going to take away the freedom, they would have to remove God's Spirit from your life. Mm-hmm. And it can't be done.
Can't be done.
Jesus has come to live in us through his Spirit. He says he will never leave us nor forsake us. So freedom is always ours. Now, sometimes our minds don't align up with that.
True.
We put ourselves back under that law. We put ourselves back under performance. We put ourselves back under the opinions of others, trying to please them. And any time we do, the result is an experience of bondage.
Yes.
What's going to break us free? Truth. Realizing that we're in this new covenant, not the old, that it's a work of the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So what do we need to do? Well, we need to make a declaration. So which covenant do you live in? So if you're listening right now, this is a question to you. Which covenant do you live in? Is it the old covenant or is it the new covenant? And if you're a believer, it's the new covenant.
It's the new covenant.
So are you willing today to declare this? I am new covenant. I think that is such a powerful, powerful statement. And if you are, if you've never made that declaration before, and today is the day that you are going to declare to yourself and to the world, I am new covenant, let me encourage you to write today's date down. It is March 3rd, 2017. Write that down in your Bible, maybe in the front cover. Maybe write it on a little business card, put it in your wallet, maybe put it up on your mirror in your bathroom.
A note on your phone.
That's right. Today is the day that I made the declaration that I am new covenant.
Yeah.
Write the date down. And when you start feeling trapped again, when you start feeling pressure from rules and regulations and opinions of others and all of those sort of things, go back to this date and say, wait a minute, I'm not a part of that law, those tablets written on stone. I'm not a part of the letter. I was there. I was under the law of sin and death, but Jesus has set me free. I'm now a part of what the Spirit is doing, and what the Spirit is doing is life. It's all about this abundant life that Jesus has given us.
Yes,
so make that declaration. Write today's date if you're making that declaration for the first time today, and I guarantee you it will mean so much moving forward. So are you a new covenant? Old. New covenant. That's the good news. So it's time to fully embrace God's perfect plan and will for you. It's time to say, I'm a new covenant believer. Now, when you do, you're stepping into the most powerful reality known to man, and that's experiencing the full measure of God's grace. So there's this salvation moment, and boy, that took all of God's power to move us from death to life. And it was something that he did at his initiative. It's not something that we earned. It's not something that is a reward for our great behavior. God saw our condition. He took pity upon us. He sent Jesus. He raised Jesus from the dead. And the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, he directs toward us and raises us up to walk in the newness of life. Well, this newness of life is not by the letter. This newness of life is by the Spirit. And as we understand that, then we are positioning ourselves to really receive the full measure of the Spirit's work in our lives. So that's an awesome possibility, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it's mind-boggling because we are so conditioned to think that, okay, here's some good news, and I want to be part of that good news, so I should choose that good news, and then I should find out how to stay in that good news, and it's all about me and what I'm doing. And God says, no.
Right.
No, just admit that you couldn't do anything and accept this gift from me. Let me speak it into you. He creates it in us, just like he created the universe, and it becomes so.
Right.
And it's very good.
Right.
And we rest, and we get all these benefits that we've been talking about, and then you're motivated internally to do the very things you thought you had to do before, but now it's because the Spirit's doing it through you.
Right. Well, it's here in Texas, there are several rivers that a lot of people go and tube down. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what do? Well, you just put your tube in the water, you sit on it, and the water takes you. Mm-hmm. It has a course. You don't have to try to figure out what that course is. You don't have to try to figure out where the destination is. The river has already determined that. So you just jump in and let the forces of the water move you along. That's a picture of what this Christian life is all about. When we're saved, we're stepping into this river of life. And the currents of grace move us how God wants to move us.
Yes.
So we don't have to try to determine that. We don't have to try to fight against that. We just simply, by faith, allow the currents of this river of grace to move us in the way that God wants to move us. Yeah. And so we're going to see that in a couple of verses. Philippians 1:6, it's a powerful verse. It says this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So when Christ saves you by grace, when God saves you by grace, does that put an end to his work in our lives?
No.
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 So he has stated that he is going to conform us to the image of Christ. That has been predestined. So what is God going to do? He's going to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if we get out of the river and decide to walk in the weeds or not. God is going to get us back, and he's going to conform us to the image of Christ. And here's this promise in the letter to the Philippians, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on until completion. It's going to happen, folks. You don't have to worry about it. That river of grace is going to move you to that destination. So that's good news. That is just such great news in our lives. So this process happens in the trials of life. It happens in the good times of life, and we can trust that. Well, we probably need to stop right there. I'm getting excited.
Oh, yeah.
If we could just go on,
go on, just another
go on
hour.
Forever. But next week we're going to pick up and we're going to talk about how the grace of God moves us through the trials and tribulations of life. But one last time, we've gone from the old to the new. That old was weak and useless. It could not do what God wanted it to do. So once it fulfilled its purpose in showing us our need, it stepped aside. Now we're in the new covenant. Let's once again make that declaration, I am new covenant.
Absolutely. Good stuff, guys. And friends, we're glad that you've joined us for the study edition of Basic Gospel. Again, you can find the book and the study guide, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, when you visit that particular website, simplegospelsimplygrace.com. Again, simplegospelsimplygrace.com. Well, at Basic Gospel, we, of course, are privileged to share the good news of Jesus Christ every day, and we're blessed to have many of you partnering with us. The need is great, and Basic Gospel, of course, has the answer to the heart needs of people everywhere. People who are ready to hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ. Please join with us, friends. The blessing of your gift through Basic Gospel will mean the difference in somebody's life. Just click donate at basicgospel.net, and when you do, we have a special gift for you. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Well, that's it for this edition, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. In the meantime, we pray that you will have a great weekend in and because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.